I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, so when you find that, go ahead and stand together with me. Chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1, we'll read all the way to verse 13. And while we're reading through this, just kind of have it in the back of your mind that this series, this lesson really is part 1 of a 3-part series. And they do stand alone, each one of the lessons stand alone. But you can't really get the full effect until you have all 3. So just keep that in mind, and I'll address that when we get into it. Okay, let's look at verse 1. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." See that word mystery there? The definition of that in the text is really the main point that we have tonight. And the mystery is maturity in Christ. How that the Jews and the Gentiles are on the same, really the same level whenever it comes to their ability to mature in Christ. That's the mystery. And so today we're going to be talking about the foundation of this maturity in Christ. Look at verse 4. "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Again, what was not revealed and is now revealed, this mystery that Jew, Gentile, all Christians can mature in the same way because of Christ. Verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs," there it is, "and of the same body, and partakers of his promised in Christ by the gospel." In other words, we're all in the same, you know, in Christ, we're all in the same, you know, process here, okay? Verse 7. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power." Verse 7 and 8 really are amazing because it's basically Paul saying, "I can't believe that I get to teach this." And that's how I feel tonight. I mean, I can't believe I get to be the pastor. I mean, it's overwhelming. And that's what he's saying. Look at verse 8. "Unto me, who am least or less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Remember the mystery that we all have the ability to mature? Okay? I'm emphasizing that if you can't tell. Verse 9, "which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." In other words, even heaven observes this mystery being revealed and is amazed. Verse 11, "according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have," I love it, here it is, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Let's read verse 12 all together, okay? All together, verse 12, begin. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Father, tonight we pray your blessings upon the word. Help our hearts to be encouraged. Help us to learn the foundation for spiritual maturity. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Some of us understand blueprints. Let's see. There's a few of you guys. You understand blueprints. You lay a blueprint in front of me, you know, the complicated kind, my brain just goes out the window. I mean, I don't get it. However, there are some blueprints that I understand very well. You know what I'm talking about whenever I'm pulling these Legos out. Now, I'm hoping that I'm going to gain the attention of a few tonight. Looks like some are getting in trouble. But see, this right here, I have no idea what this is. There's somebody who does know what this is. But we don't need to address it right now. But this right here required no blueprint, okay? This is just a creation of the mind. But there are some things that do require blueprints, like this land water vehicle. And, Legos, they can survive in land or water, believe me. And then this this other vehicle situation right here, they require blueprints to build these. No blueprint, blueprints. Okay, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying this one required a blueprint. Now, I told you there are some blueprints that I can't understand. However, there are some that I can understand. Now, let me see if I can help you get it, what I'm talking about. Whenever you have a blueprint, that page number one looks like this, okay? Where you basically have a picture and the number one. That's the only word, and I don't even think it counts as a word. It's a number. There's no words. I get this, you know? Like, I can read this, and I can assemble something. But whenever you're, and so when you're doing Legos, I mean, this is awesome. I like Lego blueprints because I get it. You know, let me just kind of put this here. I think this will help us keep our attention tonight. Let me even open it up so we can know, you know, where we are. Okay? Whenever you're working with Legos and you're going to assemble something, you've got number one in the picture. You've got number two in the picture. And that is super easy. And I love those kind of blueprints. I put these things together occasionally with the guys, and so we have fun with that. But you know, even with Legos, even with such simple instructions, if you skip from page one to like page five and think you can figure out, you know, in other words, if you skip from number one and try to go to number 20, you're going to be in trouble, even with Lego picture assembly. You're going to be in trouble. You have to go in order. You have to go in sequence. And here's another amazing and very important fact here. You can't leave any of the steps out. It's the same for us in our walk with God, in our the maturation process in our life. You have to start with number one. And you have to go from number one to number two. You can't go from number one to number 20. You're going to be in trouble. You're not going to mature like you should. You're not going to grow like you should. I don't know why it is that we as Christians think that we can skip around with this idea of the way that we mature. What I mean, I wonder why it is that as Christians we think that we can skip number one, number two, and number three and go all the way to number five or even number 20 and start there and think that we're going to mature like we should. Of course we're not going to mature like we should. And it might be tonight that you can identify in your own life that you have some struggles that really a mature Christian shouldn't have. You have some doubts. You have some times of despair and discouragement that mature Christians should not have. Now, why is that? Well, let me just very simply give you the reason why. Well, let me tell you why. Let me tell you the reason it's not, you're not, let's see, the reason it's not, that's bad English, but let me see if I can, let me see if I can straighten that up. Hello? Here's the reason it's not. It's not because the instructions are complicated. It's not because the blueprint is too hard to read. I mean, the reason why you're not maturing like you should isn't because it's too difficult. God does not want the maturing of our Christianity to be hard, so he makes it very easy, overwhelmingly simple at times. And so the reason we're not maturing like we should, it's not God's fault because he made it too complicated. It's because we've skipped some steps. It's because we've left something out. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go all the way back to the start. Where does the maturation process begin? Where does it start? What's the foundation? What's square one? Where do we begin in this process of maturing in the way that God wants us to mature? Because if we don't get that right, if we don't make sure that we have you know, this thing nailed down the way that it should be, then we're not going to be maturing the way that God wants us to mature. And so here's what Paul does. Paul gives the church the blueprint. The blueprint for spiritual maturity. And it's so easy. It's like reading Lego, you know, instructions. Number one, number two, and number three. Matter of fact, that's the way that it breaks down. You have a sequence of things that takes place, starting with number one, and then it goes almost like just seamlessly into number two, and then number three. It all happens in chapter number three, verses 1 through 13. Paul gives you the foundation for spiritual maturity. If you're noting things, you can write this. The foundation of your spiritual maturity is confidence in God. Confidence in God. Doesn't that just make sense? Confidence sort of connects directly to foundational things. Confidence. I mean, a firm foundation, right? Firm, confident, strong. I mean, we're in trouble if the foundation's a mess, you know. And so if there's an earthquake and the foundation isn't strong, then the whole structure will come down. And that's why you can come to some Christians who look like, and we've seen this a lot, haven't we, Miss Melissa, just being in the ministry a long time, that you can see a family, they look like they got it all together. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Not being judgmental, I'm just saying, you see a family, it looks like, oh, that family, they got it all together. They have family devotions, they got their walk right, they, you know, I mean, you don't know these things, but you're just seeing them on it, some sort of from an outward perspective, and we say that family has it all together. But then, after a short amount of time, maybe through a trial or through some sort of a temptation, they crash. I mean, their spirituality is wrecked. And we look at those type of deals, and here's what we say, don't we? How did that happen? I mean, how did this person get in such a mess? How did this person who looked like they had it all together crash so hard? I mean, you know? I mean, we see these types of things happening, and it might be that you have a tendency to be there too. This is the reason why, is because the foundation isn't strong. Here's what happened. You went to number two or number three, and you skipped number one. You can't skip number one. Because if you skip number one, what is sure to come is discouragement. It's sure to come. The second part of this, which we'll deal with next time, is in verses 14 to 19. And here's where he shows, after you have that strong foundation secure and in place in your walk with God, now you're going to start building the structure on top of that foundation, right? So you're building up the inner man. You're building up the inner man. So the foundation in your confidence in God, then you're building up the inner man. And then lastly, verses 20 and 21 of our text, we'll deal with in 2 weeks. This is where Paul shows that God, through a life that is built on the firm foundation and strengthened in the inner man, then has the ability to live and work, or rather, God has the ability to live through us and work through us, if that came out right. That's a mature Christian. A mature Christian is a Christian that God works through you. It's not complicated. God is working through you. It's not about you. It's not about your abilities. It's not about your strengths or your weaknesses. It's whether or not God's working through you. And He can work through you. And that's what a mature Christian looks like. But you can't get there, verses 20 and 21, where God is working through you until you get step one, step two, and then step three comes. And by the way, step three, when God works through you, it ought to be natural. Yeah. And so the first step in our this process here of maturity is building the foundation of confidence in God. I had you read verse 12 with me. Take a look at it again. Paul says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So here's what I want you to do. I see some of you are taking notes. That's a good thing for you to do. You should note this verse. Matter of fact, just note this phrase, boldness and access with confidence. Because that's where it all points to. Everything in this text points to this point. Remember when we were doing the reading through the text together? And I had you say with me, or we paused almost every time it said the word mystery. this is the mystery that's been revealed. That you have boldness and access with confidence. That's the mystery that's revealed. Now, it's the same thing that the Jews understood, which is what he addresses earlier on in this text, in verse number 6. But this is the point. So Christians can be weak, which is a sad reality. But the weakness stems from their lack of understanding of that point we just pointed out in verse 12. That they have boldness with access, or rather boldness and access to God with confidence. They can have that. But whenever you're weak in this understanding, then discouragement comes. And here's what Paul is doing. Mature Christians do not get discouraged. That's what he's saying. Mature Christians do not get discouraged. And so to build a foundation of your Christianity is to be or having this sequence of things in order, starting with boldness and access with confidence to God. That understanding. With that understanding, here is the thing that becomes removed from your walk with God. Discouragement, despair, the things that pull you down, the things that get you down in the dump or whatever it is. Mature Christians don't get discouraged. And so the foundation of the maturity, of the process of maturity, is confidence. Confidence. If you don't have confidence that you can come to God at any time with any problem, in any condition, then you're in trouble. If you don't have confidence that you can come to God any time with any problem, under any condition, then your Christianity, your walk with God, the level of your maturity, it's in trouble. Yeah. You're left to try to figure it out on your own at that point. I mean, you're left to this thinking, I guess, that you can only come to God with boldness and with full access whenever you've been good enough. You know? I mean, that's what we're left to. Oh, you know, I can't come to God yet because, I'm not good enough yet. I need to repent a little bit more before I can really go to Him with boldness, you know. Yeah. Well, that's what we do as Christians. It just means we don't understand who we are in Christ. We don't understand this first fundamental step of maturity. And whenever you get to feeling like that, you won't come to God with boldness, with full access, until you feel like you've read your Bible and prayed enough. Well, I didn't read my Bible today. I can't go to God. I didn't pray very much this morning, so I can't go to God. You know, we have these type of feelings. And this is what Paul is addressing, that we as a Christian need to understand. And he's doing this for the Ephesians, specifically here dealing with the lack of understanding with the Gentiles. But man, listen, we can go across the grid here, because there's not a Christian alive that doesn't struggle with access to God, that you can go to Him anytime. That's why you don't go to Him all the time. That's why you don't go to Him on a consistent basis, is because you don't have this full understanding that you have access to Him at any time. And so we begin to feel like it might be that at times in our Christianity we're second-class Christians. But I want you to know, here's what Paul is saying, there is no such thing as a second-class Christian. No such thing. Well, you know, Pastor Moore, I mean, I get phone calls all the time, hey, Pastor, will you pray? And you know what, I think there's something to be said about the pastor praying. I mean, I do. I think that there's something to be said about that. But, you know, it bothers me if somebody wants me to pray, but they don't pray. Why would they not pray and expect me to pray? Well, here's why. Because they don't feel like they can pray like I can. They don't feel like they have the same access to God like I do. And it might be that you at times feel that way. Well, do I have the same access? Is there any such thing as a second-class Christian? Are we all in the same, you know, in the eyes of God? Do we all have the same access to God? Paul is called here to these Christians because he wanted them to know that they have instant, unhindered access to the Father at any time because of Jesus Christ. You can go to Him anytime. And that's the mystery. Verses 1 through 4, we talked about that. Let's look at verse number 3. how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. I don't know what he's talking about, that last phrase, as I wrote before in a few words. But look at verse 4. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we see him address this mystery. A mystery simply means something that was not revealed has then been revealed. In other words, it was previously concealed and now it's been revealed. It's sort of like a mother who is going to have a child. You know, that's exciting. Depending on what number it is for you. If it's number one, I mean, you're excited. If it's number seven, you're like, no. No, I'm teasing. But some parents, they have, you know, they decide, for whatever reason, we're just going to wait. We're just going to wait until the day, you know. And then we're going to find out what we're having. Whether it be a boy or a girl or a monster, you know. That's going to be one of those. I guarantee you. And so then the day comes. And the build up to this. You know what you're waiting for to be revealed? The mystery. In other words, it's not like it's a secret to God. It's just you don't know. And you don't know, and you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. And then boom! There he is, or she, or it. You don't know. But there it is, you know. Boy, girl, or monster. And so what has previously been concealed has now been revealed. That's what Paul is saying. Well, what is the mystery here? What is it that people didn't have a full grasp of? It's that anybody can go to God with boldness. Anybody through Jesus Christ can go to God with instant access, unhindered. You see, that was a mystery. You know why Paul is teaching this? Because Christians have this privilege, but they didn't know about it. It was a mystery. Do you know what that means for you? Here's what it means for you. It means if you're not taught this, then you're not going to know about it. It's going to remain a mystery to you. It's like a Christian, somebody who receives Jesus Christ, and then they get out of church. Well, when you, listen, I don't care what anybody tells me. You get saved and then you get out of church, you're not going to mature. It can't happen. Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us that, remember? That you're blinded, and the only way you can have your eyes opened is if God opens your eyes. And remember how he opens the eyes of his people? He does all in all through the church. He works through the church. He gives you a pastor who teaches you the Bible. It's him that opens your eyes. But if you don't go to church, listen, you're going to be blinded to some things. You can read your Bible every single day, but you're going to be blinded. You're not going to understand some things. And so here's what Paul is saying. There are some things in our Christianity that are a mystery to us, but we need to be taught these things. And Paul is excited about this. He says, I can't believe I get to teach this. I can't believe it's me that gets to reveal this mystery to you. The mystery that you have instant, unhindered, complete access to the Father at any time through Jesus Christ. And you're no different than any other Christian. You might feel like a second-class Christian at times, but there's no such thing. So you can go to him anytime. You, though, might be like me, who read through your Bible. And, you know, I'm thankful, like I said, for this book, because it's been really cool to see how God has opened my eyes to some things, you know, just by having a pen in my hand. And I was reading through Isaiah. I'm telling you, there's some heavy stuff going on in Isaiah. And as I'm reading through Isaiah, I noticed a lot of things. But one thing in particular that I noticed is that your sins separate you from God. Do you remember that in Isaiah? I mean, surely you remember the phrase, thy sins have separated you from me. I don't remember how it quotes, but we have that understanding that our sins, you know, they sort of at times are there, and we wonder Does that affect our access to God? Surely you've thought about this. Surely it's going through your mind as a Christian who wants to walk with God, and you're here tonight, you know what that tells me? Well, I can't know your motives, but it makes me think about you, that you want to mature. You come on Thursday night, I mean to tell you what, buddy, you want to grow, because we're all tired. There ain't nobody who's just like, I'm so happy. I feel so not tired right now. No, everybody's tired. Nobody comes on Thursday and they're not tired, okay? We need to do something different on Thursdays, like shots of espresso or, you know, something like that. Anyway, Brother Chad, see, he woke up. God's working now. But, you know, so we're, you know, you're here because you want to mature. And surely it's gone through your mind, Christian, that God says you have instant access. I'm telling you again tonight. But then you have that sin that lurks around. And you read Isaiah and other places in the scripture where it says, your sins have separated you from me. And then you have this trouble figuring out, okay, so I know I have access to God, but then I know that my sins separate me from God. So where is it that, where does all of this come together? And here's what Paul is doing in this text in Ephesians tonight. He wants to help us understand that our access is unhindered. In other words, we can come to God, we can go to God with boldness anytime. Anytime. So does that mean that your sins affect your access to God? No. Your sins, listen, your sins do not affect your access to God. You can go to Him anytime. Now I'll do some more work on that here in just a minute, but I want you to see in verse number 6, take a look at it. Well, look at verse 5. He speaks of the mystery. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it now is revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So in other words, what he's saying here as he speaks in verse 12 about this boldness and access to the Father at any time, unhindered, at any in any condition that you can go to the Father, he's saying that there's no Christian that's any different on this. There's not second-class Christians is what he's saying here. And he's marveled, like we said in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, that he has the ability to teach about this mystery. Look at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You see that word fellowship? Isn't that a powerful word? Isn't that what God wants us to have with Him? Fellowship. Now we have fellowship with each other, and it creates unity because God doesn't look at you and say, well, you're a better Christian than me. If you're saved, you have the same access to the Father that I have. And so God doesn't judge us or put us on a scale like that. I mean, He doesn't do that at all. And so what that creates then, the understanding of this, if we would grab a hold of this tonight, it would create a stronger level of fellowship with us, you know, because there's not a, you know, sort of a, you know, like we brought up this racial thing. There's not a racial, spiritual, you know, like level. Like, oh, well, that's the group, they're on this spiritual level. That's the group, they're on this spiritual level. No, no, no. We're all on the same level, and see how that can create fellowship? But think of the fellowship that this mystery revealed creates between Christians and God, that you understand this principle, that you have instant, unhindered access under any condition at any time to the Father through Jesus Christ. I mean, this is an awesome truth, and so Paul is excited about it, or rather excited about the ability to teach this. And so he says it specifically in verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So he tells them basically this is the idea that we're getting across. You want to go forward in your maturity? There's no going forward until you get this down. This is block one. This is number one. You can't go forward. You can't grow. You can't mature. You're going to hit the brick wall. You're going to be confused. You're going to be confounded. You're going to look at the maturing process of Christianity, and you are going to be confused by it until you get number one. That's where it starts. So this is a powerful truth for us. And we build our foundation of confidence in God. that we have access to God at any time. The verse in Isaiah was Isaiah 59, verse 2, where it says, our sin separated us from Him. But that doesn't mean you don't have access to God. Get that. Your sins separate you from God. In other words, there's an issue with fellowship, but it does not hinder your access. That you can go to God anytime, under any condition, under any circumstance, instant, unhindered access at any time. This is an awesome truth for Christians to get. You know, I hate to say it, but I didn't really get this truth, Sean, until I was in college. So you nail this one down, you're ahead of me. Some of us might be way past that, but that's okay. Let's start tonight if you've not gathered, or, you know, if this has not been a fundamental, you know, principle that's guided your everyday steps, this unentered access. But, for me, it was in college. I remember whenever I was discouraged, I was struggling, there was sins that just really had me down and out. And I was battling with these things. And I couldn't figure out, you know, how to mature. I mean, I'm at Bible college. My heart's in it, man. I mean, yeah, some guys go to Bible college and they're just goof-offs. You know what I'm talking about? They're there. You're like, why are you here? And then they didn't stay. I mean, my freshman year, we had 150 in our class. The next semester, I don't even think we had 100. But by year number two, it was half. We were in the 80s. You know, we graduated in the 40s. So that's where 150 all the way down to our graduating class was in the 40s as far as guys. And so, you know, there's goof-offs and clowns. They have no interest in maturing, you know. So, I mean, they wouldn't be interested in this, but I was. I was a front row guy, you know. I mean, I was in chapel, I was on the front row. But I was more than just a front row guy. I was front of the chair front row guy. So whenever the preaching, you know, the preacher gets up there, you know, you could be doing this. I wasn't doing it. I was like this. I was like ready to start a race. I was barely on the chair. I'm ready to jump and shout amen. And our class was crazy. I mean, we had guys that were throwing their Bibles in the air. I don't know if guys did that in years, but Brother Sam had to get onto us a few times. So, I mean, that was my class. I was sitting on the front row. I wanted to mature. But I didn't know how. I didn't understand this truth. And so I was in the dorms with a friend of mine who was a third year student. I was a freshman. And I was complaining about something in regards to this. And he sat me down. He looked at me and he opened his Bible. And here's what he said. He says, did you know that you can go to God anytime about this stuff? I'm like, yeah. He said, okay. I don't think you do. So let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and let's read verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, how does it say it? I got you going down the wrong road. Cleanse us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Thank you. To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so let's deal with just a moment of theology here. I don't want to keep you too long, okay? We're not talking about people getting saved. So if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. It's not talking about you getting saved, okay? The whole 1 John is dealing with, particularly chapter 1, is dealing with your fellowship with God. You can study it yourself. It's a theme through chapter 1, your fellowship with God, which, by the way, we identified the word fellowship in our text, didn't we? God wants to have fellowship with us, okay? And so whenever you sin, your sins separate you from God. In other words, it doesn't make you lost. It makes you not have what? Fellowship with God. And so 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, agree with God about our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He has the ability to do that because we're already forgiven of our sins. So what then happens is we are reestablished in our fellowship with God. Now here's what he asked me. When can you do that? And then he made it a little bit more specific. He said, let's say that you sin at 5:00. When can you go to God and ask for forgiveness of that sin? Well, you know, I'd never thought about it like that. Because, you know, we as human beings, we feel like maybe that we need to be penitent for a while and build our way back up to access to God. When we sinned, we made God mad at us. So I need to wait a little while and do some repentive type things. Read my Bible and pray for a little while, and then I'll feel like I can get my heart right with God. You see, you're deceived. You don't have to do that because of this truth. You have instant, unhindered, under any condition, at any time, access to the Father through Jesus Christ. So even if you're in sin, you can go to Him anytime. And that's awesome stuff. I mean, that changes some things, or at least it should. That we have this understanding, it then along the way should remove some discouragement, some doubts that we have. That we have access. You see, the reason why you won't go to Him is because you feel like your access to God has to do with your holiness. Did you hear that? You feel like you'll never be, you won't be able to go to God and talk to Him and have that access to Him unless you are good enough. But let me shed some light on something about you. You're never going to be good enough. It's because it's not about you at all. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come to Him with confidence anytime. Yeah. So learn to put your confidence in this truth and not in yourself. That it's not about you, but that you have access to God because of Christ. I remember a pastor that I won't say his name, but he was one of my pastors, and it wasn't Brother Marshall, I do want to say that, but he was the guy. Now listen, okay, I'm not just bringing condemnation, I'm just saying this is just how he handled things. He did a lot of great things, but this was one thing bothered me a little bit. He would wait till the song service to start. Whenever he heard the music, then he would come out of his office and he would walk straight up to the pulpit. Whenever it was invitation time, he walked back to his office and he closed his door. So you never could talk to him before church and you could never talk to him after church. And his door wasn't open. You understand? So this would be like some pastors say, I have an open door policy. He had a closed door policy, okay? All the way. Well, let me help you understand something about God. He has an open door policy. Like, that means you can come to Him anytime. And you can come boldly. And you can do that because it's not about you. It's all about Him. And so the foundation for our maturity is a firm understanding that we have instant, unhindered access to the Father through Jesus Christ at any time, under any condition. That's the mystery. And that's where everything starts. Because if you don't understand this, this is the point he makes, and I need to finish, okay? So I'm going to finish here. If you don't understand this, then you're going to get discouraged. And this is why some of us get discouraged, because we forget this, okay? Go to Him. He says in verse number 13, he gives this to us, he gives this to the church, that they, I'm quoting it wrong, but here's what he says, that they faint not. Do you see it in verse 13? Where he says that they faint not. That literally means to not be discouraged. You can look it up. That's what it means. That they faint not. That they fall not into despair. That they be not discouraged. And by the way, the first word of verse 13 is wherefore. Wherefore means, hey, I'm building on what I just taught you about the mystery that you had access to the Father unhindered under any condition, under any circumstance, any time. I'm building on that truth to tell you this. It'll keep you from discouragement. It'll keep you from being discouraged. And so this is what we build the maturity of our Christian life on. That we have access to Him anytime. Go to Him anytime. And you say, well, man, this is such a simple, basic truth. Yeah, it's like Legos, right? But you can't skip it. But so often we don't get it. You know what stops discouragement and lays the foundation for maturity? It's confidence in your access to God at any time. It removes discouragement. Let me just say this and we'll be done. God's door is always open. If you don't get anything else, take that home with you, okay? God's door is always open. This will increase your prayer time, it'll remove your burdens, and it also sets up what we're going to talk about next week. And you don't want to miss that, because it's once you have the foundation, Sean, you got it? You got it tonight? You can go to him anytime. Now, we're going to build on it next week. We're going to build up the inner man. Now, you can't miss this now, because you won't get the third thing until you get the second one. Okay, so be here next Thursday. Father, thank you so much for this great day. Thank you for how you work in our lives, and you change us to be more like you. Thank you for this blueprint that we've seen tonight. And God, I know that in a lot of ways it's so basic, but yet I think at times it's what makes it so profound, that you would have an open door policy to us who often fall. Even Paul, who was just amazed that he had the privilege to teach this great truth, he was overwhelmed. And Lord, that's how we feel. And so tonight I pray you'll help us to get a firm grip on this truth, that we can come to you anytime, at any moment, under any circumstance. Lord, help us to have that confidence. Help us to build that foundation in our maturity. Lord, please, we'll give you glory tonight in Christ's holy name. Amen.